so we don't have hot drinks today because we already had our hot drinks with our peanut butter chocolate cinnamon rolls from a delightful local restaurant called Burrito Day. The owner of Burrito Day, my friend Carrie, is in my book club with me, and I asked her when she was making them again, and she said, oh, I can make them this weekend. And I felt like consumed with power.
Ah, the power to command peanut butter chocolate.
Like, is this what it feels like to be someone of influence?
Oh, I like to tell people that we're Cersei famous, that we hold a lot of clout around here.
I guess that would be if people recognize us at Hobby Lobby. That feels different. This was like behind the scenes. This was like...
You're orchestrating an evil...
Yeah, me telling her, you know what I really would really like to see at Burrito Day? And then her saying, done.
I want to be in the room where it happens, the room where it happens.
Is that from Hamilton?
It is.
I don't know Hamilton. I know.
But you were in the room where it happens. I wasn't, but you certainly
but
were.
You benefited.
I sure did. It was so good.
Y'all, use your power and influence for good.
Yeah. To make peanut butter chocolate cinnamon rolls happen.
Do what's best for your community.
We make great sacrifices here.
Yeah. Ready?
Yep.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about how we find fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 30, we're in it to win it.
Yeah. What does that mean, Madison?
This is our podcast about creativity and competition. So we've been talking about a reality TV show Joe has been interested in the past week. And Joe was like, hey, these are creative people who are engaged in this reality TV show. Let's talk about the effect that has.
Yeah. It's been more than a week. It's been during the snowstorm. I got like way addicted to the show. So I started watching Ink Master, which is a tattooing reality show. I have to turn my headphones down more. Please hold.
You can turn me down too, because I sound really loud.
Keep talking.
Okay, I'm going to keep talking about how much I like cats. I love them so much. They're cute little whiskers and their adorable little eyes. They're so cute.
Okay, so we'll see how that does things. Okay, so I have been watching Ink Master, which is a reality show about tattoo artists, and it's been out forever. So there's like 11 seasons you can stream.
Ooh, girl.
So I've been watching that. But before we talk specifically about Ink Master, do you like reality TV shows?
Yes.
I don't think you have to like all of them. Like,
yeah. Yes and no. Like, well, they hit me hard. So when I was growing up, Survivor was really big. And I cried as a 10-year-old girl when my favorite person went home. So I like them, but I get way too emotionally invested.
I think it's weird, too, because they're real people. But then really with editing and everything, you're still just seeing a character. So
because they know they're being filmed. So they act differently knowing that they're going to
be filmed. No, I don't even mean that. I think people, they can edit the show to look however they want. I think through editing, they can make someone look like a villain, or they can make someone look like, you know, the good guy in a show. And that might not be reality at all. So that can be hard to keep in mind.
Yeah.
But I do like, I like Survivor. We always watched it in college. And I also just like shows where you get to see people doing what they do.
I love seeing all the creative things that people come up with from a certain challenge where they're like, all right, here's these stipulations. Now go be creative within this. I just love seeing how like 10 different people will come up with vastly different things.
I like even non-competition shows. Like one of the first shows that I really got into was Trading Spaces, which came on TLC. Do you know Trading Spaces?
I think I've seen it a couple of times.
Okay. Well, that show was popular when I was kind of at the end of high school. And watching that is actually what made me study interior design.
Really?
It just was what kind of introduced me to it as a possibility. Okay. But I always liked those shows and just seeing I think the same, like what people would come up with under weird circumstances.
I've always liked creative television. I didn't have cable growing up, so the public programming had always had cooking shows mm-hmm. on. And then from out of that, when I would go travel, there would be cable in a hotel room, and I would watch like cooking shows that were competition shows as well.
Yes, like Among the Chefs.
Yes. And I love like Say Yes to the Dress and What Not to Wear.
My dad loves Say Yes to the Dress because he says it teaches him about women. And oh I said, goodness. What do you mean? And he said, he means the emotions are real, even if he doesn't understand them.
Oh, bless your dad. That is great.
He's not wrong.
You're right. But yeah, so maybe those aren't necessarily creative, but some of them are more like expressions uh-huh. of people's personalities, which I think is a little creative, but
yeah,
kind of fringy.
So creative reality, creative, let's narrow it down.
Yeah.
To creative competitions shows.
Mm-hmm.
What have you watched?
I did sample a little bit of Ink Masters recently.
So that we could talk about it.
Yes. And from the moment I turned it on, I was like, oh, I do not like this show. I was like, ugh. People were very crass and angry at each other.
You watched something. You just started in the middle of a season just to get a flavor.
Okay. Just to get a taste. But here's the thing. By the end of the first episode, I was like, I could watch another one. And uh-huh. I was like, what? And it's this, I think that speaks to why we like reality TV. Part of it is that cringe factor that we want to see. And we don't like it in ourselves that we want to see it, but we will still want to see
it
anyway.
It's the drama. I remember what I told you specifically about Ink Masters when I had watched the first season
mm-hmm.
was how jarring it was to me to watch men compete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because other things I had seen, Survivor or whatever, everybody's kind of mixed in. But the first season of Ink Master particularly is mostly men. And this is generalization. I'm not trying to be reductive about what it's like inside the male brain. But the drama that was happening among the men was astonishing to me.
Because they come in and they're all brutish, like, I'm going to help you go home. I'm taking you out, blah, blah, blah. And it was so intense. I was just like, oh, why?
And just I guess it's ego, but also you aren't taking someone else out. Just tattoo better. Just tattoo your best. And if your best beats their best, you stay and they don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just was, I was fascinated by that. And then also just I really like tattoos and just seeing the whole process and the art that people are able to make is what keeps me watching it and is so appealing.
I agree with you. That's probably my favorite part. Mm-hmm. Just seeing what people come up with and what they ask for is always so interesting.
Yes. So if you at all like tattoos or are interested, it's on Netflix. I would suggest watching an episode and just get ready for a bunch of bleeped out words and men yelling at each other.
Yes.
Okay. What's another, any more shows you watched?
I love watching The Great British Baking Show.
Okay. I've never watched that.
It's also on Netflix if you want to see it. And there's a ton of seasons. I can watch that more because they focus on just being better. Oh, I messed up this week. I'm just going to be better. No one talks about taking anyone out or making anyone go home. They usually have this air of like camaraderie,
uh-huh.
in the tent. They cook in a tent. And that to me is so much more relaxing. I still get the creativity aspect. I still get to watch some fun personality types uh-huh. happen. But there's no, I'm here to take you out.
But
I'm not here to
judging,
make.
Judging, right? I mean,
yes,
people still go home.
They're still judging. Okay. People go home. There's a star baker every week. There's, you know, the baker that wins at the end. But all of them are eager to help each other out. Like
okay.
in certain challenges, they'll be like, oh no, my marzipan has not come together.
I hate marzipan.
And so someone else from the other side of the tent is like, oh, I have extra. Here's mine.
That's lovely.
I know. Because they're not there to hamstring each other. They just want to do the best.
Okay, I'm maybe going to have to watch the Great British Bake Off. I know people talk about it all the time, and I just have never been interested.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you a few. Well, do you have any more you want to mention that you've watched? I guess we could have gone back and forth on this. I guess interviewing you.
I liked Chopped, too.
Okay.
That's super good. Where they?
So do you enjoy cooking shows?
Oh, yeah, I enjoy cooking. Like, that's why I love, that's how I can cook like I do is because okay. I have a ton of.
I don't like cooking, so I think I don't, that's why I don't like cooking shows.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a little bit of Project Runway.
Okay, that's one of mine. I love Project Runway. I would watch it with Mooley.
It gives me, I vicariously feel their stress and I can't take it. It's so intense to me. I'm like, oh no.
And a follow-up to Project Runway is Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn left and came up with their own show called Making the Cut.
Oh.
And it's on Amazon Prime. And it is more global. So they have designers from all over the world. And it is more like designers that already have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so the challenges are a lot less weird. And they're actually, it feels a little bit more practical.
Okay.
It's really good. If you like Project Runway, I think you'll like Making the Cut.
Maybe I'll check that out. That sounds good.
Have you ever watched Making It?
Making
It comes on NBC, I think, and it has Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman.
Oh my goodness, those two people sound great
together. I only watched the first season, and they bring together people. What's different about it is they bring people who are creative, but for all different reasons.
Like what?
Like it might be someone who sews. It might be a painter. It might be, I don't know. They like just bring people from different disciplines and then they give them challenges. Maybe it's a woodworking challenge or a make this quilt that's not a quilt. But so anyway, it's really interesting.
That reminds me, there was another one I watched with a friend of mine, Kaylee O'Neill, who has taught classes here before. She showed me, I can't remember the title of it. If I find it, I'll put it in the notes. It's a cosplay one where they're like, all right, here's this challenge. You have to go and make this costume. And that one I really liked.
Yes, I could see how that would be. Right up your alley.
Yes.
You could be in that competition.
I would love to. Oh, but the time constraint.
Yeah. Another one that I found a little bit fascinating is called the Big Flower Fight. And
I'm just picturing people with fistfuls of flowers like throwing them at each other.
I always want to call it the Great Big Flower Fight, but I think it's just called the Big Flower Fight.
Okay.
It's also on Netflix and it is all different kinds of floral arranging, but they make these huge, I guess sculptures out of flowers.
Oh.
And they have someone who, like they have a team who's landscapers and then they have a team that owns a flower shop or two people who are Instagram plant people, like indoor plants. They just bring people from all different horticulture backgrounds.
Oh.
And so then they have to make each week, it will be do something, make something out of grasses, make something out of cut flowers, make something out of whatever. And they have to make these huge sculptures out of flowers. It was just interesting because it's something that was so different, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I watched two episodes of last night and it's been in my queue for a while, but it's going to be coming up to the top. It's called Blown Away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Netflix and it's about glass blowing.
Oh, I love hand blown glass. It's so pretty.
I love the color and the process of watching it, but it's not my aesthetic. So I wouldn't have
like hand blown glass
decorate
things,
with hand blown glass, but it was fascinating.
And you said it's on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. I may have to check that out.
And it's the first, I guess it's kind of the first creative reality show that I've watched that I don't understand anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, everything is so foreign. The tools that they use, the way that they do it. Also, I've never been so nervous because their glass can break at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be right at the end, 10 minutes left, and they're piece that they've just worked on for 4 hours breaks. Oh my word.
It's so dangerous too. All of that molten glass and metal and like crazy tools and stuff.
Yeah. And this should be saved for the Be Createful After Dark, our after hours podcast, but they call the hot place where they put their, the glass that they're working on. They call it the glory hole.
Oh no.
So I also laughed a lot at that.
Wow. My sister showed me the TV show, Nailed It. I asked Joe to watch an episode of it because I'm glad if you enjoy it, that's awesome. Keep enjoying it. I have a visceral reaction to that.
I think if someone enjoys it, we need to talk about why they enjoy it.
Yeah. So the premise of this show is that they show these contestants, these amateurs, normal people, a certain finished product.
Uh-huh.
And then they have to recreate it within a certain time frame.
And are they all food-based?
I think they are.
Okay, because when I was flipping through the episodes, it looked like they were all food-based.
Yeah. So, like, if you remember that time that you were on Pinterest scrolling through and you're like, ooh, I want to make that, and then it didn't turn out right, that is the premise of this show.
Yes. And they are completely setting people up to fail.
Yes. And I don't find enjoyment in that.
Also because I watched an episode that was like a 90s throwback.
Mm-hmm.
The number of puns that they used was over the top. And they had an hour to do something completely ridiculous.
Yes.
I was so dumbstruck after I watched it. I could not find the words. I was watching it with a friend. I was trying to combine the words diabolical and maniacal. That is what it was.
Yeah.
It's diamaniacal.
Diamaniacal. Because you're essentially watching people fail. And perhaps for people who fail often, it is cathartic because you're like, oh, other people are just like me. But I want to see people succeed. And so it's hard for me to watch.
And I feel like it's in a completely different category. What we're talking about today, I think. What we're trying to say is what we're talking about. What I want to focus on is shows that are elevating creativity and like where it's competition among people who are good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to like embarrass people or see how big of a mess someone can make. Also, I guarantee you nobody who goes on that show is an Enneagram 3.
Well, I think it's like American Idol when it first started out. Uh-huh. There were the people who were amazing and then they showed you the reels of people who were absolutely terrible. And you watch them because you enjoyed the cringe.
Yes.
So that show, yeah. Nailed It is complete cringe.
Yes, absolutely. I called it creative trash on our Instagram stories yesterday. Okay, let's talk about some basic elements that are in all these competition shows.
Okay.
You've already mentioned one. Oh, do you have a comment?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Okay. I was about to say, what is your first one, Joe? Oh,
excellent. It looked like Madison was raising her hand.
Oh, pick me. Pick me.
You've already mentioned it. I think the first one is they always have a time constraint.
Yes.
That is always something ridiculous.
So... yeah, I thought on Ink Masters, the one I watched was 4 hours they had to do a tattoo. And I thought, don't people go in for like several sessions to get a nice tattoo done?
Yes.
Like how many sessions did your tattoo take?
Mine was only one, and it was like maybe 2 hours, but it's small.
Yeah. And I mean, your tattoo is beautiful. It's got lovely shading. Yeah. I learned all kinds of terminology watching this show. So it looks great. But yeah, some people are like, I want a full figure.
Right, because people just want too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the contestants are always having to balance like the time. Here's one of the cliches they use all the time that I hate. Go big or go home. Do I do something really big knowing I'm going to run out of time? Mm-hmm. It just time is always a stressful factor.
Which I don't think is an accurate representation of the person's ability.
Correct.
Because what may take you a certain amount of time, like an hour, could take me 3 hours. It may be in some professional sense, like it's important for you to be able to create.
If time is money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
But if we're just talking about making quilts, who cares if it takes you an hour and it takes me 3 to complete a certain task?
Right.
So
right. I feel like it is an arbitrary way that they're trying to make something. Sometimes I wonder, why couldn't they just say, you have to make a tattoo that takes up this much space. It takes you as long as it takes you. Or mm-hmm. Is there not another way to make something more fair? Why is time the thing that we're judging by? And I guess it's because they have a recording schedule and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But
time is money, so I guess.
That's element. My yes. first element is there's always time constraints.
Let's see. Our elements might be different. We may be running into some
miscommunication.
Maybe. One of my elements was skill. That
okay.
That you have to come into these competitions with some competency, unless you're going on the show nailed it.
right. And then the less competency, the better.
Yeah, exactly. All of these people who go on these shows typically are already masters in their own right. Mm-hmm. So they're just here to kind of, I don't know, rank themselves almost.
Well, but that is another element is, you know, people who are masters or who have been doing a certain thing for a long time versus the newbies who are coming in. Mm-hmm. So in Ink Master in particular, someone will be like, I've only been tattooing for 3 years versus someone who's been tattooing for 15 years. And so the show is kind of a levelizing, it's creating equal ground where your experience may or may not get you further. Mm-hmm. I had written down skill. I think you get to start to see skill versus creativity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you get to see it through the process. I like that part of what you see in these shows is the process of how they're doing something. So in Blown Away, I mean, you're seeing how they blow into the thing and mm-hmm. stick it in the glory hole and use all of these weird tools. And that was so fascinating to me because it's completely foreign. I didn't understand any of it. Mm-hmm. So how someone goes from concept to the technical application of it or whatever. I think that that is an element.
And that's what makes it interesting too. I love those how it's made shows.
And some people are better practitioners, better at the skill of the thing, and maybe not so much good at the creativity aspect of it.
In most of these shows, they have in the Great British Baking Show, it's the technical. Are you able mm-hmm. to make this certain type of bread or this certain recipe? And then there is the, maybe it's a Star Baker Challenge. I'm sorry. I've watched several seasons and I forget. But it's where they, all right, I need you to make bread or a bread sculpture. And that's where the creativity part comes in.
So they're judging both.
Yes. I think there's most of that. Like in Ink Masters, they have that first, the flash challenge mm-hmm. where it's not even a tattoo. It's just testing their art skills. And then the tattoo challenge.
Yeah, but
challenge.
Sometimes those challenges are so weird. Like in one of them, they have to make art. They have two live wires and they're having to make art by burning something onto the canvas. It's also ridiculous things.
Yeah.
Which is another one of my elements. They always have ridiculous parameters.
Oh, not just time, but here, we're going to take away all the tools you're used to and you have to use yes. a feather to ice this cake.
Yes. Or just really unrealistic challenges that have nothing to do with what you would actually do in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Here's paper towels, make a quilt out of it.
Yes. And sometimes I think that those parameters, there can be too many variables in between the contestants mm-hmm. to really make it equitable on how they're judged.
Yeah. Some of these challenges people have had experience with just because people are people and they have done different things in their lives. And I'm like, well, how is this because those challenges are meant to put everyone really on the same ground because uh-huh. it's so different. But if someone has done it before, then it's what's the point? It's not shaking them as much as it's shaking everyone else.
Yeah. So sometimes I think that the parameters that they have to prove, that they have to walk through for different challenges in any show are kind of weird. And you're asking people to do something that if it's out of their element, they have no time to kind of learn it. Mm-hmm. Like I think about this in the Big Flower Fight. Also with Ink Master, it's permanent. They mm-hmm. are giving people real tattoos.
That was my first question when you told me about this. I was like,
Do they tattoo on real people?
Yes. And they do.
Yes. And sometimes the parameters that they have are something so weird that then what if that person doesn't want that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ugh. The one that's glaringly obvious to me is personality. Okay. All of these shows have to have people with over-the-top personalities. It could be a good one. It can be a bad one.
Yes.
I would say, like, Great British Baking Show, people are, like, more toned down.
Well, maybe. Also, they're British.
That's true. They have to hold all the emotions inside. Mm-hmm. And I like that. But, man, like, Ink Masters or in Chopped or in, like, other shows, they're just, some people are just so grating on your nerves.
And also, isn't it weird to hear trash talk in some of those instances versus I think we're used to hearing trash talk on a football field or, mm-hmm. you know, in the competitive sports. But then when you hear trash talk over a fake kitchen, mm-hmm. you're like, what? That was something I had written down was I think you get to see the dichotomy or the difference between someone who's just full of ego versus someone who is open and has a willingness to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think when there is a willingness for them, when people are able to set their ego aside, then they can learn as the competition goes on and you see progress. And a lot of times those people go really far.
But they're not as interesting to watch for right. the majority of people.
Even though sometimes I think, oh my gosh, you're a breath of fresh air. Oh, how yeah. nice.
Because if everyone went to the judges and before the judges and said, oh yeah, you're right. I really need to learn that. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn less and more. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win. Yeah, I know. I hear that way more.
I'm here to be a butthead.
Yeah.
I don't care if I hurt your feelings.
It's just over the top and ridiculous.
I'm going to take you out. Okay. Another basic element of all competition shows mm-hmm. is the judging.
I didn't even write that down. How silly of me. You're right. And it's usually other experts mm-hmm. that are on there or well-known experts. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes I'm like, I don't know if you know as much as you think you know. Right.
So, you know, the whole having to stand up and have your work be judged against someone else's. I think that can have a negative impact on creativity.
Yeah. The Ink Master episode I just watched, one girl was complaining about the judging and she's like, they got onto me for this, but they didn't get onto you for that, blah, blah. And people were tearing into her because she was upset about it. But at the same time, those same people would be like, I'm going to take this person down. I'm going to help him go home. And I'm like, at least she's talking about her work. All you are is talking about winning.
Also, somehow it seems everybody thinks that everybody else is out to get them.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. Do you have any more elements?
Let's see. There's a relational aspect. In some of these shows, you can like screw each other over or you can help each other and work together. And maybe this fits in with personality. But seeing how people interact in a creative space with each other. In some of these competitions, they're in the same room or mm-hmm. same tent.
And they like live together.
Yes. And I think that's very interesting. And I was so, it warmed my heart that in the Ink Masters episode, much like in the Great British Baking Show, when they're at the light box drawing mm-hmm. together, they're like, well, how do you think this looks? I'm like, yes, I love that. And that's what I love about Make Do and being here with you, Joe, is that I get to create in a space where I can then walk over to you and be like, what do you think? Or I can ask for your opinion. And so there is a judging aspect going on there, but it's like safe yes. and it's helpful.
Yes.
And I like that.
You know what I'm trying to say. Uh-huh. The last thing that I have is that something is going to go wrong.
It has to.
For someone, there's going to be drama, not just interpersonally, but also someone's glass is going to break with 10 minutes left. Or
someone's cake goes flat.
Yes. Or like catches on fire. Yes. Or someone's flower sculpture falls down. And you, with editing, you never know how down to the wire it mm-hmm. is. But there's always like that level of what's going to happen?
That was part of my last one that I had here, that it's all edited. Like in all of them, they have that countdown, 10 seconds left. Not, and I'm like, I know they put that countdown over footage that is not the last right. second. You know they're done.
Yeah, 15
minutes before.
Too. Yeah. Because if I was the person who my tattoo artist was like working down to the last minute.
Yeah.
Ooh, an element of, let me go on an Ink Master tangent. Mm-hmm. When the season you were watching, do they have the human canvas jury?
No.
Okay. In later seasons, some of them, all of the human canvases, that's what they call the people who get the tattoos, get together and decide who has the worst tattoo. Ooh. And then they put someone into the bottom to maybe get kicked out. But can you imagine having to sit in a room
and look at everyone else's tattoo
and also have people tell you that yours is the worst, this thing you just got put on you that is permanent?
Yeah, that would suck.
Okay. So what does this have to do with us? I think we're talking about competition, mm-hmm. and a lot of us deal with competitive spirits. So we want to talk about the pros and cons of competition. First of all, are you competitive?
I'm afraid it's going to be like my imposter phenomenon situation where I'm less competitive than I think I am.
You're less competitive than you think you are? Because imposter syndrome was the opposite.
Yeah, you're right. It's the flip side. I think I am more competitive than I assume that I am.
We don't have a test to take to find out.
But if board games with my husband is any indication, I get real ticked when I lose.
Mooley, my mom, likes to say, I'm not competitive. I just like to win.
Mooley, if you could explain the difference to me, I would love to know.
Here's what I think she means. Not everything is a competition to her. So versus I hold secret competitions against people that they don't know that we're in a competition. And so I think she would call that being competitive. Like I just turn everything into a competition. Mm-hmm. And what she means is if she's playing ping pong, she is going to murder you. And bowling. She's very good at bowling as well.
Oh my.
I know.
So yeah.
Unexpected.
I mean, and you've talked about before that you have a very competitive spirit. Mm-hmm. I don't like that about myself, though.
No, it is a part of me because here's the thing. No one wants to be competing with you all the time.
Then you're no fun to be around.
Sometimes people just want to hang out. Mm-hmm. So like when I was building my deck, I've shared this story before, but I was hammering in the joist hangers and Brian, who was teaching me how to build my deck, was hammering his nails in like three strokes of the hammer. So then I was trying to do that. And it was a disaster because I had put myself into a competition with him that was completely unnecessary and not helpful. It was working to my detriment.
It makes me think of when I play Just Dance with my friends because I'm really terrible at it. But I still want to hold my own without looking like an idiot, I guess.
Yeah. So you are mildly competitive.
Yeah.
I am extensively competitive, but I'm trying to rein it in. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about pros and cons of competition.
Okay. So
I don't have very many.
Do you, Joe?
I know.
It's not a competition.
But it feels like it should be. I only have one pro. I think it's because I struggle with it so much that it's hard for me to see the benefits of it.
Do you want to start with the pros first or the cons first?
Let's do my one pro first.
Okay.
The good thing I get out of competition is it pushes excellence. It makes me better.
That is one of mine as well. Because without it, like, there's a lot of people that wouldn't feel the need or the motivation to do anything new or innovative.
Yes.
So I like that part of
competition. Okay, what are your other pros?
To have community. Now, hear me out. When you are in these shows, you are surrounded by people who are masters of your craft. Uh-huh. And so you do get those opportunities to say, hey, does this look okay? And get different opinions. And I think creative people really need that.
But you think that competition enhances community? Because I would almost see it as a con.
So there's two sides to that coin. When I go to trivia nights, I love doing that because it has competition, but then I also get to be around people who have similar interests that I do.
Okay.
And so even though we're competing to find out who knows the most about Harry Potter or pop culture, at the end of the night, no matter who won, I still get to be around people who share that experience.
So it's giving you a shared experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would say, I think for me, well, I don't know. I do love a game night. With creativity, I think you can get that community without the competition aspect.
I agree.
Yeah. I just think of like the make do learn to quilt class. It's not a competition.
No, we don't hold prizes at the end for
even
anybody.
Even though you can put your quilt in the county fair.
There you go. Well, see, and I think that's another good part of competition is I kind of like the thrill. Like when I'm like on trivia nights where I'm answering a question and I'm like, yes. Or if, I don't know, I guess if I entered a sewing competition, the thrill of like making the thing and like trying to outdo myself versus trying to outdo the other person.
Yes. Yes.
I like that thrill, that sort of excitement.
Right. That excitement gives me what my family calls poop legs.
hold up. I need an explanation.
You know when you just feel kind of like queasy in your legs, like you need a poop?
Sure. Yeah.
No.
So you get like weird feelings in your legs.
Yes. Because you're like nervous, you know, you're driving to the softball field and you're going to have a game and you're nervous. Like, am I going to strike out? Am I going to hit a home run? Am I going to look stupid? Ooh, I need to poop.
I love it. Yeah.
If no one else knows what I'm talking about, I take it all back.
I don't like the nervous feeling, but I like the good nervous feeling.
The adrenaline.
Yeah. The adrenaline. Like, oh yes, let's do this. And my final one is validation, that like if you do get to win, then you're like, yeah, I was so good that other people saw it and they gave me this award. So if you put your quilt in the county fair and you win a blue ribbon, you're like, yeah, I did good.
Yeah. I think what is so hard for me about that, especially the part about validation, is I want it so bad that then if I don't win, it's devastating for a minute. An example of this would be when Cersei won Small Business Revolution.
Yes.
So if you're from Cersei, you know the story well. But if you are listening outside of here, we had a reality show come through town called Small Business Revolution.
Oh, yes.
And they, so Cersei won out of like 12,000 towns that applied for it. And then they picked 6 small businesses to work with, to give like some marketing help to, little makeovers. So McDo made it into the top 12, but we did not make it into the top 6. Mm-hmm. So that whole process was such a learning experience for me in how I deal with competition. Like, I didn't even want Cersei to win if McDo wasn't going to be one of the businesses that won, which admitting that thought alone is so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when McDo didn't get picked, I just remember being so devastated. Like, why did you not like me? Or why did you not want McDo? Or is, you know, anyway, it was quite the roller coaster for me.
So you had the whole thing happen to you of like cameras were on you and you did interviews.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that was so fun. y'all, I love a microphone and I love a camera.
have firsthand experience of what it's like to deal with competition and have people watch it happen.
Well, and I would rather not be on the show at all than be the first person to go home or not be the winner or be any person to go home until the finale and then not win.
Okay, so since we're kind of talking about that, let's move into some of the cons of competition.
I have three cons.
Oh, my goodness.
How many cons do you have?
Three.
Okay.
So we're
what
tied.
Do you mean? Oh, my goodness.
Well, because you only had one pro, so I thought I assumed you only had one con.
No, I could probably have come up with 20 cons.
All right, hit me with one.
Okay, my first con is that it reduces the benefits of the process of creativity to only be about the outcome.
The product at the end.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about that often on this podcast.
And then that's what's being judged instead of everything that's beneficial about the process.
I guess my first one kind of goes along with that, that we can win at creativity. I am the best creative.
Uh-huh.
My creation is better than yours. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that fits really well with my next one, which is that a lot of times the judging is completely subjective criteria. Mm-hmm. So either it's subjective because this person, with the glass blowing last night that I watched, like someone had to make a platter and then someone had to make a candelabra and someone had to make a goblet. Like they weren't even all making the same thing. So then how can you judge based when the variables are so different? So that's one thing. Also a matter of taste comes into it. Yeah. You might make something that is excellent, but it's outside of my aesthetic. And so I'm not going to be drawn to it.
When I was watching Ink Masters, one of the judges said, I love this type of tattoo, but the,
technical application.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The technique is not here. Mm-hmm. So therefore you're going to be in the bottom too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, but it was a good tattoo. It's better than some of the other ones that are safe.
Uh-huh.
And you're, ugh. I hate that.
Well, and then with competition shows in general, we also are invested in people because of their personality. And if they act like a real dillweed, you want them to go home.
Yeah.
But the judges are, they try to remain outside of that. And then you're like, no, send this person home.
Because they're,
he's a jerk.
Yes. This kind of fits in with what you were just saying, that competitions limit your creative work. You're not just limited by what the or what the judges tell you to do, but you're not allowed to go outside. Well, yeah, I guess you're not allowed to go outside the limitations.
Uh-huh.
When
or
you could,
you'll get disqualified.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, this is a great piece, but it's not what we were looking for.
It didn't meet the criteria. Yeah.
Stinks.
Okay, my last one, I didn't write this down very well. I'm not exactly sure what I was trying to say. Basically, it's, am I even adding something to the conversation? Like, is my voice different enough from the other people here to stand out? Or is it just the same thing over and over? I think it can be hard to find distinction within a competition.
Especially when you have limited parameters.
Yes. So, you know, we've spent a couple of episodes now talking about identity and imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that boxing yourself into this competition mentality can, one, make you feel like an imposter, like you don't really belong. I've only been tattooing for 3 years. Do I really belong in this competition with people who have been in the industry for 10 or 15? Or... well, now I lost track of my train of thought. I forgot what the what else I had said. But anyway, I think it can be quite limiting.
Mm-hmm. I just had a thought.
Oh, identity. Oh. Sorry.
Oh.
I remembered what I was going to say. It can make you lose a sense of your identity as a creative if you're having to meet, if you're always focusing on meeting certain parameters or fitting the challenge, and then you can lose your own voice within that creative expression.
Yeah. Ugh. It's not dehumanizing. It's just, it can make you feel like just another face in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
My last one is that competition pushes people away. I think a lot of these...
This was after you said it makes community.
I know.
This is the other side of the coin.
This is the other side of the coin. That all of these people together, if they are not kind with each other... All of these people together could probably be great friends and great allies with each other.
Yes.
But instead they choose to tear each other down and be bitter rivals. Whereas like if they were, like if they each owned their, in tattoo math, or tattoo masters and ink masters. If they all owned their tattoo shops, they'd probably be calling each other up, emailing each other for different advice and things like that. But because they are in this competition and they're tearing each other down, they probably wouldn't do that.
Well, this is interesting, and I think it leads into our next segment. The idea of competition, even outside of a show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a small business, do we see ourselves in competition with other small businesses here? And we will definitely address this in an entire podcast episode later. But there are two growth mindset options that we have, one of scarcity or one of abundance. And competition already lends itself to a scarcity mindset. There's only so many customers. Mm-hmm. So if I help you, are you taking customers away from me? And there's kind of that sense of competition and rivalry in all aspects of our life. So,
I wouldn't want to operate from that mindset. And we'll probably talk about that later. Because then we're just so concerned with getting more and more. So if you gain success, then you are going to be taking away from other people if you're constantly concerned that you don't have enough. And it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You ensure that other people lose to you because you're, quote, winning.
Right.
And that's just not a good way to live in community.
No. And because the nature of competition is somebody wins and then everybody else loses. And that, I think that we approach a lot of things in life that way. Mm-hmm. But life is not a competition like that, and multiple people can succeed and win, in quotes, at the same time. It doesn't have to be my business. Your business has to do poorly so that mine can do well. Mm-hmm. So any more thoughts on pros and cons?
Not specifically on that. I was just thinking, I'm staring at some quilts that are on the wall right now in our studio. And
that's the teen quilt, teen quilting quilts.
And Joe and I made a couple of different samples, and Joe has not heard me say this. Most of the other girls chose Joe's design, which is great. But only one person chose the design that I had picked for my quilt. And so there's like a little piece of me that was like, guess my design wasn't that good. No one wanted to do my design. I guess I lost to Joe, which is dumb. Because if I had not made my quilt top, then the one person that wanted to do that design wouldn't have been able to see that example. Uh-huh. That's why you and I work well together. Yeah. We give different examples so that different people can have options.
Also, how many quilts did you make?
I made one.
How many quilts did I make?
Like 4?
Right. Yeah. So there's 5 people in the class. So yes, they chose one of my designs.
But they all chose the one, like the same design. They're all doing the weaving one, right?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I haven't looked close enough.
A lot of them wanted a more random look, and the one that you made is not random.
No, it's not. How dumb is that? Like, we're not competing against each other. It has no bearing on my creative skill. It's silly, but we play that with ourselves.
Yes. Okay, well, that, I think, is a perfect segue into why it is important that we recognize this in ourselves. And so as we like to do here, we're going to give you some advice, some tips on how to maybe embrace the pros of competition. We don't want to say get rid of competition altogether.
We've already talked about some good things about
You have talked about some good things. I did not have many good things to say. But we acknowledge that there is benefit to creativity. And mm-hmm. we've all heard a healthy competitive spirit and all of that. That's fine. Yeah. So just some tips that we have on emphasizing the good and then helping us let go of some of that negative competition that we might feel. Mm-hmm. How many of these do you have?
3.
Okay. I have 4.
Okay.
I'm winning. but this is my first one, is to quit secretly competing with people.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. So thank you for setting that up. Well, also I've already admitted that I do that. This is a quote. I tried to look it up to see who said it, and I think it's just part of our vernacular. Mm-hmm. But comparison kills creativity. So comparison is competition, like happening within yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're not all standing in front of judges having our things judged.
Yeah.
But if I'm competing with someone inside of my own mind, all that that is comparing my work to theirs. Mm-hmm. And then I'm deciding if it's better or not.
So you're a contestant and the judge.
Right. And I'm probably going to judge myself harshly. Mm-hmm. Versus, I mean, if they were comparing themselves against me for the same thing, they may think my work is better. It just, comparison can just sap, zap, take away mm-hmm. the any energy that we have to produce because we're wasting all of it comparing ourselves to other people. So
it's kind of like what we talked about with imposter syndrome that, I don't look the way that she does. And she's the kind of person that would do this and mm-hmm. all that just yes. messes with you.
So just stop secretly competing with people.
All right, I'll try, Joe.
And I think what you can do instead is compliment them on the things that you admire. Like, mm-hmm. get it out of yourself and get it out in the open. Because I think a lot of times if you compliment someone, they may already be second-guessing that or, you know, they need to hear the compliment too. And then they may give you a compliment back. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
I love the quilt you made.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Obviously, I really like all of the quilts that you have made. And I already took Fat Quarters home to make my own woven design because yeah. I thought that was so cool. One of my takeaways is to be humble, but be honest. I like the people in those shows who come in saying, I'm here to learn. Uh-huh. I'm here to be around other people to get better at my craft. And the being honest part means, even though you are humble, recognize that you have, you're a master in your own right.
Right. Don't belittle your own talent.
Yep. And be honest where you need to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. My second one is similar. It is to prioritize learning over winning. Mm-hmm. So if you need to be the best at something, be the best at learning, be the best at improving. Don't worry about making one thing that's better than somebody else's, because that was my first con, right? That it reduces the process to just the product. So if you take that product out, if you get rid of the idea of winning, then it frees you up to focus on the process and to reprioritize, to shift your priorities and emphasize learning over winning.
That was one of mine as well. And I think of these characters in comic books and in action movies where if like two characters are fighting and one gets defeated and then they're like happy about it. And then the other character who won is like, why are you happy about this? And the other character is like, well, now I know about your weaknesses, or I know how to.
I wish y'all could see Madison moving around playing out these characters.
Now I know your weaknesses, and now I can learn how to defeat you. This battle was just a learning experience for me. I will come back stronger than ever before. I think that's how we should view competitions. I mean, okay, maybe don't be an evil villain, but I'm just saying, if you need to picture yourself as something when you're in these competitions, think, all right, I'm glad that I lost because now I know what to do better. And next time I will come back and be better than ever before.
Oh, my word.
I'm sorry. That cinnamon roll is really getting to me. Yeah. All that sugar. I'm feeling it.
What is your tip? Can you say it again?
My what?
Your tip. I just was distracted by what just happened.
It was the same as yours, that be ready to learn.
Okay, so that you can defeat your opponent the next time you face them.
So that you can conquer evil. I don't know.
A tip that I have is to show your work. And again, I think this is going toward back to the process. And what I mean by show your work is like, you know, in math, you can't just give the answer. Your teacher wants to see how you got there. Mm-hmm. So talk about the benefit that you get through the process instead of just posting, oh my gosh, look at this quilt I made. And then everyone oohs and ahs over it. show the work that you do to get there. Talk about the parts that are hard. Talk about the challenges. Mm-hmm. Emphasize what you're learning and be vocal about that so that other people, one, feel empowered to maybe go through the same things, to learn along with you, and that also they can be inspired. I think that your final product has a lot more value when people see all that it went through for you to get there. So we don't have to just show the finished, polished mm-hmm. parts of our creative process. I think that there's benefit in showing our work along the way.
So when my parents came in this weekend, and they listen, hi, Mom and Dad. I showed them my green coat that I was working on. It's not done. But because it's not done, I got to show them all of the unique techniques that I learned on the inside. And they were just amazed, and they gave me lots of compliments, which I really appreciated that. Mm-hmm. That was very kind. But that was almost more rewarding to me than having the finished coat, because they got to see all that went into it. And some of the things that I love about my creations are things that people will never see on the outside. It's like popping the hood on a car, opening it up and going, All that stuff that's on the inside is
great. Well, because if something is done well, or, I mean, not even well, when something is done, you're just seeing it, the big picture of it for mm-hmm. what it is, and you're not really seeing all that went into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that that's one of the cool things about particularly the quilting class that we teach here is people get enticed to come to the quilting class because they see the final project.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of people still, when they come that first day, aren't sure that they are going to be able to do it. I think that they think, I'm going to be the one who can't finish this. Mm-hmm. But then they go through the whole process and then they end up with a quilt that looks like that thing that they admired before they came in. So that's kind of a cool journey that I like to watch the participants go through, is going from product and then through the process to a product of their own.
Maybe it's the cinnamon roll talking, or perhaps it's this conversation, but I'm feeling really amped to go and like do creative things right now. I don't know what it is.
You have creative poop legs.
But just maybe creative, or maybe create. It is my turn to not be able to talk. Maybe creative competition is what drives me to like keep going. I don't know. I just get so excited where I'm like, oh, I want to go do something. Like it's this great creative battle and I'm going to go fight. Win.
Against evil.
Against.
In my Spider-Gwen costume.
Yes. Sorry. I'm just really excited right now to be
creative. Well, I think excitement is an interesting topic. I was scrolling through some old Instagram posts that I had made around the time of Small Business Revolution. Mm-hmm. And before we knew if Cersei was the winning town or not. And I wrote an Instagram post saying, you know, through all of this process, there's like, my mind is racing, 1,000 things are coming to my mind. But one thing that keeps coming to the front of my mind was holding excitement and expectation at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times they get mixed up together. Like you just were talking about that excitement you feel before a competition. Mm-hmm. But I think with excitement, it can always be redirected. If you think of it as energy, like mm-hmm. I'm really excited to do thing number one. Well, if thing number one doesn't happen, then I'm just going to transfer that excitement to thing number two. I'm just going to keep that energy and make it productive somewhere else. Versus expectation, that is expecting a certain outcome. And then if that thing doesn't happen, all the energy for it gets drained out of the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, it like can be devastating and disappointing. And so if you have an expectation for thing one and it doesn't happen, then it's a lot harder to redirect to thing two, mm-hmm. you know? And so not that, of course, we're always going to have expectations.
Oh, yeah.
We can't make ourselves just be open, don't expect anything. Mm-hmm. But I think it's recognizing that our excitement and our energy cannot be directly connected to that expectation. Because if we are let down and our energy has nowhere to go, we're going to lose it. So I wasn't going to talk about that, but I think that you being so bouncing in your chair excited is a good, just a good reminder that you can use those, that energy and that feeling regardless of if you are winning or not. If it's not tied to winning. I think that's why I only had one pro to competition, because for so much of me, it actually drains my energy because I make it too important.
Oh, I guess, is it your turn now?
I think so. I went down a tangent there.
Yeah.
Do you have another one?
I do.
Oh, go ahead and say it.
Do competition for its own sake and not to validate, which I know one of my pros was that it would validate you. However, if you go into a competition solely for validation, you will be disappointed. Uh-huh. It's the expectation of what you just talked about. I want people to go into competition with excitement and for the thrill of the thing. Yeah, you could win or you might lose. And that's kind of part of the not knowing and the uncertainty. Go into it trying to view it as fun. Take it with joy. Don't go into it seeking for validation and acceptance.
I feel like now I have to reshare a story that we've shared here before that is one of my darker moments.
I can't even recall what this might be.
You're involved in it. You will remember.
Oh.
It involves competition and expectation that we would win first prize with our Christmas decorations.
Oh, I thought about talking about this before because this is one instance where I was a very sore loser.
Our studio is located downtown in our town, and there was a Christmas light competition. And so we made our giant gnomes. You maybe have seen them. We'll post them in the show notes. Their names are Pretzel and Fritz. We made giant gnomes. We had a whole scene with our gnomes in the snow and everything. I think we have a picture of, of them. And so I was like, gosh, we have to win. And I had driven by the other businesses that I knew. And then they called to tell us we got second place. And I was expecting to be told we got first place.
Me too.
So much that when she said we got second, I could not hide my disappointment. And we got chastised a little, rightfully so, because there was cash money prize involved. And I was just like devastated that we didn't get first and we lost on a technicality.
Because it was a lighting competition. And we only had one string of lights that was outside of our studio.
We did not have lights on the outside, and that was the technicality we lost on versus like the
display
value
itself.
Of our window display that we thought we had created a magical scene.
I will say, when I was creating this, I worked so hard on it, and Joe and I worked so hard on it that I said, this is our magnum opus.
Yes.
There were lights everywhere.
They just weren't on the outside.
They just weren't on the outside. So
that was
hard. I remember being so mad when Joe, I'm glad Joe was the one that told me and I wasn't having to look the person in the face when they told us.
I'm glad it was on the phone as well, because I think I was able to cover somewhat on the phone, but like I thought we were going to win it.
We were not graceful.
No.
We were totally in it to win it for our validation. But I'll bet you that so many people who walked by our window were like, wow, that's such a great window.
And we still have the gnomes. Like, they're still in our window and people still walk by and get great joy. And Madison will be finishing up today our spring display. Mm-hmm. We will do that also. And there's no competition. The thing is, we would have done the same thing whether there was a competition or not. But as soon as competition was thrown on top of it,
we were like, oh, we need to win.
Yes. And we're not competitive. We just want to win. Okay.
Sorry. We're telling on ourselves so that you can feel comfortable telling on yourself.
Yes. And, you know, we want to do better next year. Both, yes, we want to win, but also if we don't win, we want to be more grace-filled.
Yeah.
Also, so, we want to win.
In that situation, I still feel like we did the best job that we possibly could. And I'm going to take joy in that. It, regardless of what the judges thought or what the competition was, I know that that display was bomb and no one else can change my mind about it.
And y'all, we got $300.
Yeah, so we can't even be mad. Like, we, when we first found out, we were talking to each other and said, you know, we still got money out of it. We really shouldn't be complaining. That was money that we didn't have during a time when, during times that are still uncertain.
Right. And we didn't spend any more on it than we already had before there was a competition. Yeah. Anyway, very weird. Okay, my last tip. Mm-hmm. is to find ways to collaborate with people versus compete with people.
Yes. Like in the Great British Baking Show, if someone needs help, you help them out.
Yes. Or, you know, when you see all of the artists, whether it's Project Runway or Ink Master, and they're sitting around sketching and they're getting help from each other. I think that that's a lot easier when you're not in a competition show competing mm-hmm. for $100,000 to the winner. But to recognize the creative strengths in other people and to bring their strengths to the table alongside yours mm-hmm. is really beautiful. And it always makes better work than when we just sit in the corner and try to do it ourselves.
Plus, it's flattery when you ask someone, hey, what do you think about this? Then that person's like, oh, you think enough of my opinion to ask me about this creative thing. And it just makes this sort of like nice community that you can create in.
Yes, it's fun.
Yes.
It's fun. Okay, I think we did it.
I think so too.
We thought, are we going to be able to talk about competition shows? Is that...
Yeah,
we've decided we can talk about anything.
Yep.
Now, if you find it interesting or not is out of our hands.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't read a review the last couple weeks when Meredith was on. Meredith.
Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. It was so much fun talking with you.
So here is our review for this week.
Okay.
And this is from, well, I think I know who this is. Her username is 91 Kim. So Kim, are you that Kim? Kim has taken the quilting class just most recently. Her review, this is back from October, and it says, great content. Listening to this podcast is the best part of my Monday mornings. I can't wait to listen each week. Thank you, Kim. And actually, a lot of times when I think, are we going to be able to get this podcast out in time? Then I think, if we don't, Kim won't have anything to listen to on her drive to work. So Kim helps us be consistent.
Yeah, and accountable.
She helps hold us accountable. So thank you, Kim. If you haven't yet, leave a review and we'll read it on air when we get there, when we get caught up. So our goal is to not run out of reviews to read. Mm-hmm. So we're getting kind of close. So go now. Go leave us
please
a review.
Please.
Yeah, just share us with your friends.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to go like paint and get things done.
And bounce around the studio.
Yeah.
No more caffeine for you. Well, until happy hour. All right. Bye, Carrot.
Bye, Beat.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.